The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
All right, good morning, family. Good morning. What's going on? Y'all doing all right?
Yeah,
okay, all right. How many of y'all are glad it's like sweater season and like scarves and pea coats and boots with the fur and all that jazz, right? Like, it's great. I love the cold weather. And so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Matt Tibbetts. I'm a missionary kid, grew up in Thailand for 9 years, hopped the Pacific Puddle like 14 times, going back and forth, and grew up in Pennsylvania. Other than that, lived in Texas for about 4 years, and been in Texas. I worked at Teamania for about three. I volunteered there, was an intern, came up through the programs, and then in the past about year, I started working with the company. And contrary to what Mark says, I actually speak every week for my job. That's what I do. We actually do training and staff development for schools and businesses on risk management topics, including social media. Social media awareness, how not to get fired over Facebook or lose a scholarship. So I do talks about that and 45 to 90 minute keynotes. And so I wasn't nervous about speaking this morning. When I was sharing with Bob earlier, I was saying the thing that I'm most nervous about this morning is sharing the word of God from a pulpit. And that's something that I take with a lot of weight, that I think that, I've been praying that God would speak through me, God would speak in spite of me, you know, whatever talents and gifts I have that I would use persuasively for his gospel and not for me and not for speaking's sake, because I can do that, but that's not the point. Couple other things about myself. I go to the college group here at Living Axe on Tuesday nights. It's awesome. Any college age young adults would love to come. It's a great time, great community. I love it. I live with the hashtag Princess Place. If you don't know what that is, hop on Instagram, look up Life at Princess Place, you'll find out all about us. You'll find Tim dancing, lots of food. We make a lot of food all the time. And I'm also part of a really neat ministry called SCAD. It's an outreach group here in Tyler, Texas, on Thursday nights. It's community night. And we just get kids come all over. And what I find is incredible about this community, some of the kids don't believe in God, some of the kids do believe in God, but why they come is because there's love. And there's acceptance, and there's no judgment there. And so we get to reach out to a lot of people that otherwise wouldn't walk into the four, you know, walls of a church, because they just come to Starbucks and they hang out, and they hear the gospel in the midst of it. So that's pretty neat as well. One of the resounding themes in my life as I've kind of studied and gotten to know God has been that if it's of God, I want it. You know, if it's of God, I want it. And so growing up a missionary kid, I was never familiar with denominations or, you know, theologies or doctrines. I was just familiar with, well, if it's of God, I want it. And coming to the States, I never really got that. You know, why can't we all agree that God's awesome? And if you know something of him, then I want to know it. You know, if you have a charismatic background, you know something about the Holy Spirit that I don't know, let's talk. If you're from a Baptist background, you know something about the Word that I don't know, let's talk. Let's go after God together. And so that's kind of been a theme going through my life. And so anyways, all that to say, I'm going to pray real quick and then we'll get started. Topic this morning is social media and the gospel. And so I love the prayer that we have here at Living Axe. Pray for your own hearts. Pray that you receive from God. Pray that listen to the Holy Spirit and that something connects. You know, my prayer, as I've just been praying and praying for this congregation, for this sermon, is that when you walk out of here, you're not more of a moral person, a better poster, a better tweeter, but that you love God more, that you enjoy Christ more, that at the end of the day, you're just like, man, I want to go home and I want to enjoy him more and glorify him forever. And so let's just take a minute, pray for yourselves, and I'll pray, and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for this morning. God, thank you that you woke each of us up this morning and gave us breath in our lungs. God, thank you that you enjoy us. God, thank you that we can enjoy you. God, I pray for this next few minutes as I get to share with our family. God, I pray that truths from your word would speak louder than anything I have to say. God, thank you that as the rain falls to the earth and it returns to you, so does your word go into our hearts and it does not return void. And so, Father God, I pray that your word would go forth today, that it would impact lives, it would impact hearts, it would impact my heart. And God, that we'd walk out just loving you more and enjoying you more. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Westminster Catechism would say that the chief end to all of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And I love how John Piper says, he says, you know, adding on to that is not just to and enjoy him forever, but by enjoying him forever. That God is most glorified when we find our most satisfaction in him. And so as I'm unpacking principles today and as I was getting ready for this, I'm like, okay, social media, you know, what are the do's and don'ts? What are the things we should think about? What are the things we shouldn't think about? And I was thinking, you know, that sounds like a lot of rules. It's a lot of stuff. You know, what's the deal? And can we post, tweet, share, you know, retweet, Vine, Snap to the glory of God? Like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, whether you eat or you drink, do it all to the glory of God. Can we do that? And so what does that look like? Now, whenever I'm speaking, I love to survey the room. I love to talk, you know, figure out who I'm talking to. So how many in this room have a smartphone? Anybody in this room have a smartphone? Okay, good number. How many still have a dumb phone? Lone survivors, hanging in there. You'll make it. It's okay. All right. Facebook, anybody in this room use Facebook? Yeah, my Facebookers. Okay, tweeters. Any Twitter? I got a couple of Twitter people. Instagram, grammars. Okay, everybody get up. All right. Vine, anybody use Vine? A little service called Vine. Snapchat, Snapchatters. All the single ladies? Okay. That's about it. But, so, you know, we're all in these different social networks. We use them together. So you're familiar with hashtags, right? Hashtag turkey, hashtag stuffing, hashtag cranberry sauce. Hashtag football, hashtag did Auburn really beat Alabama? Hashtag boom. I mean, we're familiar with this. This is the culture. We're connected. If we're going or we're coming, if we're in the car with somebody, we're checking our Facebook status. If you're driving, you better not be checking your Facebook status. It'll still be there later. But, you know, a lot of ways social media puts us on blast all the time. We're sharing, we're tweeting. In fact, if you had breakfast this morning and didn't put it on Instagram, did it really happen? I mean, if a tree falls in a forest and no one's around to hear it, right? Back to English days in school, gosh. But in a similar way, at one point, God walked this earth, and I thought it was interesting that we're talking about the incarnation in this season. God walked this earth, and his life was on blast for 33 years. Can you imagine? I was thinking about it. I was like, can you imagine being Jesus, being the Messiah, being the foretold one, being fully God and fully man, and everybody's watching your every move? There's Jesus. There he goes again. You know, this is what he's doing. What is he up to? And he knows that everything he says is going to be put down in Scripture, is going to be there for thousands of years. It's going to be on T-shirts one day. You know, it's going to be retweeted. It's going to be posted. He knows that the 12 followers that he has that are just looking at how he dresses and how he acts and what he says. I feel like he was very aware of the public ministry that he had and the platform that he had and the people he was speaking to. And as I thought about that, I was thinking, well, what's our platform? What are one of the many platforms that we have, right? And one of the many platforms that we have that we can use to God's glory, that we can use to share and use to encourage and use to build up is our tools like Facebook, our tools like Twitter, our tools like Vine, Snapchat, whatever you're using, you can use them to the glory of God. And so one of my questions is, what is our understanding of that public ministry? What is our understanding of that public ministry, and how do we use it so that God is glorified more and that there's less and less and less of us and more and more and more of him? Now, I don't know if you knew this was in the Bible, but from the wellspring of the heart, the mouth tweets. And if you want to know what's on your heart, if you want to know what's on your heart, look at what you say. From the wellspring of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And so I encourage you at some point, go through the past weeks of your posts and your tweets and your grams. What am I about? What would people say I'm about? What does my heart say about me? Because it's just, you know, it comes out through our fingers pretty quickly, and it goes out to a platform of several hundred friends. How many of you have more than 500 friends? Anybody have more than 500? More than 1,000? 1,500? Okay. That's good. No, but it goes out to this number of people, and it's a public platform that we're able to use and we're able to share on. And what I'm proposing today, and one of the things I love that Mark Carter says over and over, he's kind of a broken record on this, but I love it, is that we live in an upside-down world, and we're learning to live right side up. And I love that he has this in his office framed, the world upside down. And it's like, man, that's so true. You know, we live in this upside-down world. How do we live right side up? How do we live the way God intended it to be in the midst of a fallen world? And in the midst of that, can we post and share and tweet so that we enjoy him more? Can we do that? Could we use that as a tool? Could we put that into practice? And here's the good deal about life in God. What I found is awesome about life in God is that when we submit ourselves to Him, we find joy. On the other side of submission to God is joy. It's not killjoy. I think that's what drives people away from the church, and they see Christians and they're like, man, I don't get it. You're all submitted and you're all about rules and you got your things together, but where's the joy? And what I've discovered in my life is that there's joy, you know? And so, you know, this past summer, if you were to ask me what I was doing right now in December, I'm moving to Colorado, I'm getting out of Texas, I'm going towards the mountains and I can snowboard and da-da-da-da. That was my plan. You can ask any of my friends, that's what I was doing. I was reading through my journal over Thanksgiving, and I found an entry in August 28th, and it said, God, whatever, if you want me here in Tyler for this season, change my heart. Change my heart, have me here in this season, and do something so that, you know, I know that I'm supposed to be here, because I want to go to Colorado. That's what I want to do. But God, change my heart. Well, on the other side of submission is joy. And what came out of that, and it's just so cool to see it in my life, but came out of that, the college group started up and had this group of people to uplifting in this community. Got more involved with SCAD, started playing Ultimate Frisbee with UT Tyler. Things started coming up, and things that I needed came up in my life only after that step had been taken. I said, God, if you want me to be here, let it be. It was really cool for me to see that. And so that's something that I've been learning about God, that as I continue to say, like John said, may I decrease and you increase, my joy increases. My experiencing of Him increases because there's less of me. So I encourage all of us, what are the things we can submit to Him that there can be less of us and more of Him? John 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. That's a pretty cool promise. I speak these things that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. So I want you to be excited as we start to unpack this. It does feel a little bit like I'm going to lose a bit of myself, but that's going to be replaced by a bit of God. It's a win-win. The best thing we can get of God is more of His glory, more of His presence. And that means it's going to be less of us. And so so let's get started. So the three aspects of social media I want to cover today is it's a public platform, what do we produce, and what are we preoccupied by? And I know that Brandon will approve of this because they all start with P. And so I worked really hard. It's like, what could I say? It goes with P's. He always has the same letter. But we're going to talk about each one of those and kind of what is it about social media that we can use? So let's talk about Facebook for a minute. When it comes to Facebook, who's their customer? Are you Facebook's customer? Who thinks yes? Who thinks no? Who thinks I don't know, so I'm not gonna raise my hand? All right, crowd participation, I appreciate it. Are you a Facebook customer? It's kind of an interesting question because where do they get their money from? Advertisers, right? So what are we to Facebook? We're inventory. We're the product on the shelf that they sell as fast as they can, all of our information that they can possibly get their hands on. It's actually become one of the number one sources for identity thieves because there's so much public information that they can get at all times. Any of you in this room have kids and taken a picture and put it on Facebook before, right? And so it's just super easy using Instagram, using Facebook, using whatever kind of upload tool. Chances are if you have geotags enabled, and I really want, this is part of my training that I always try to bring out, but chances are you have geotags enabled, which means that photo can be traced within 3 feet of where you took it. And so there's actually a news story of a mom. She was taking pictures of her kid, putting them up on Facebook. It's a public platform. It's a public profile. I had friends in high school who could hack through every privacy setting. It's not that big of a deal to get through privacy on Facebook. But they put photos up, and they were able to track the location of this 2-year-old girl from the place of her bedroom in the house to her favorite fast food restaurant to her nursery to the corner of the park she plays in because of geotags. Puts an exact print of where that is. So I encourage you, as you're taking pictures of your nieces and nephews and cousins and kids, I would encourage you to turn off geotags, go to privacy settings, go to camera, and turn off location so that your camera doesn't know where you are whenever you're taking photos. And so, but it's a public forum. Ever see that ticker on the right side of Facebook? If you go onto Facebook, there's that ticker right there, friends of friends posts. They're going by. Isn't that weird to somebody that my posts are on somebody else's friends of friends posts? I mean, how big is this thing? Right? And 91% of job recruiters today actually use social media as a screening tool, you know, because they can see the real you. I talk to businesses and schools all day that say they just unhired somebody, they just fired somebody, they just found out something about somebody because of something they posted. I was like, wow, you know, that's pretty intense. 91% and 69% have rejected a candidate because of their social media, because of how they represent themselves. 68% on the converse have hired somebody. So it's really interesting. You can really find out a lot about somebody just by scrolling through their Facebook. What are they about? What's their mission in life? What is their adventure to live? What is their battle to fight? What are they about? I can find out a lot about you just by scrolling through your Facebook feed. So when it comes to this public forum, Corinthians is pretty clear that 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. God making his appeal through us. So what are we posting and how are we representing ourselves? How are you representing your family? How are you representing your church? How are you representing your friends? What are the things that we're representing? We're saying, this is my stance on it. This is my opinion. This is what I think about. This is what I post about. What is your representation? There's actually a teacher. She was on vacation. She's a public school teacher. She went on vacation to Germany. And I don't know if you have ever been to Germany, but when you're in Germany, what do? Drink beer. All right, some people knew. In East Texas, it's sweet tea. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? I was like, wow, I had no idea there's so much sweet tea available. And Germany is warm beer. And so you have warm beer, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So she had a beer, she had a glass of wine. She posted it on Facebook and just having a good time with her girlfriends on vacation. She got back to her school and there's a letter of resignation on her desk because she might be a negative influence on the kids that she teaches. She is forced to resign because of a Facebook photo. Now we could argue either side of the coin, you know, maybe, you know, employers shouldn't be looking into your private photos, da-da-da, you know, whatever the case may be. You could argue the other side that you're also, you're a platform. You're a public figure in the community. You're representing your school. Kids could be seeing it. Parents could be seeing it. When kids find out who their history teacher and their math teachers are these days, their parents are probably going to Facebook you to see what you're about, you know, if you're a teacher. If your kids play with other kids and they tell about so-and-so that they're going over to their house, my boss, first thing he always does is look at the parents' social media. Look at the parents' Facebook page, their Twitter. What can I find out about them? Just start Googling their name. There's a lot that comes up. Have you ever Googled your name? It's interesting to find out what comes up. What are you about? And context is key, and that's the thing about Facebook is, you know, as we're having a discussion, you can understand where I'm coming from, you understand my background, you understand my character. If I just blanket something up on Facebook, anybody can see it and take it out of context and take it ever, whichever which way they want to. So I encourage, whenever I'm talking about this, I always encourage you to post through a billboard. Think, would I want it on a billboard for my whole hometown to see? Am I okay with everybody seeing this? What are the angles they could see it from? You know, am I part of a ministry? Could it cast a negative light on them? Could it cast a negative light on me? And maybe you just don't post that post. It's okay. Now, while we're talking about the issue of context here, we're establishing that it's a public forum, right? Facebook is a terrible venue for arguments. Facebook is a horrible, I mean, everybody's like groaning about this, like, yes. 66 comments later about this controversial thing somebody said, and you're like, golly, Facebook is a terrible context for it. Because the words you say is only 93% of communication. That's a statistic out there. Basically, it's saying that intonation, facial expressions, body language, all of that helps communicate way more than just your words do. And so when it comes to arguing on Facebook, I read this wonderful article by The Resurgence, and they said, you know, in arguments, seek to win the man, not the argument. Seek to win the man, win the person. Because here's the thing, truth is a wonderful thing, but because it is hard and unyielding, it makes for a dandy club. And you can beat someone to a pulp with truth. They can come out of an argument with you and be bloodied and broken and have no change in their hearts and not care at all. They just got hit over the head with a Bible. They got hit over the head with creation. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter because they're not won over. It's just truth. And so I was encouraged, you know, Facebook is not a good context for you to know that I care about you, that I want to know where you've been through. What was your story? Why do you believe that? Well, let's talk about that together. It's not a good context for that. And if it's just tit for tat bullets, and this is what this philosopher said, and this is what this Bible verse says, then all you're doing is exchanging blows of truth that really can't communicate and really can't bring someone in and love on them. So for that matter, so when we're interacting, how do we post? How do we share? You know, how do we communicate with people? If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians 4. I think Ephesians 4 is a wonderful passage about how we interact with the body and interact with each other in general. So Ephesians 4, pick it up in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Skipping down to verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Let no corrupting talk, this is down in verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I mean, these principles, they're so good. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth. Speak the truth, but speak it in love, right? Give grace to those who hear. You know, and sometimes we see, you know, bash the government this, or yada, 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 politics this, or, you know, Auburn this, and we know whatever the case may be, we get these, like, these rants and these tirades. I just got to put this on Facebook and let the whole world know what I have to say about that. Like, man, speak it in love. Grace those who hear it, you know? And so I'm not saying not to speak the truth. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. Any Steve Green fans out there? Anybody heard of Steve Green? He used to do these videos for kids. I used to watch when I was 4. And they had these videos, and one of the tunes goes, encourage one another, don't tear each other down. Tear each other down. And it goes on and on. But encourage one another, right? Build each other up. Don't tear each other down. And in posting and in sharing, do that. Build each other up. What I would love to see if I were to open up my Facebook page is to get a nugget from every one of your quiet times this morning. What did you hear from God? Wouldn't that be awesome? If you know, I have 2,000 friends. I don't know how many of them are saved or believers, but if 50 of them posted a status this morning, that this is what God showed me this morning in Philippians. This is what God showed me in Deuteronomy. This is what God's speaking to my heart. This is what's going on in my life. What an encouraging thing. I mean, I love to get on there, and every time I see people post little nuggets, like Tim shared a nugget the other day, and I was like, ooh, that's so good. You know, I'm really encouraged by that nugget that he saw in the scripture that, you know, the law isn't crushing, it's life-giving. Good word. You know, those things encourage one another and build each other up. How can we continue to use those, speak the truth in love, and share those? Another gospel principle here, James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Slow to speak. You know, in society, we're not very good at that. You know, we give honor, we give credit to, ooh, good comeback, man. You know, snap it right back at him. If I can zing him back, then it doesn't hurt me, right? And it's like, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And you know, in society, I think that sometimes we post and share things because of the attention and the platform that we do have, and we're quick to share and we're quick to say it, A, not just because, you know, it's on our minds, and Facebook asks, what's on your mind? So I guess I got to tell them. But not only that, but also because it becomes this platform where we can be egocentric, where we can say, you know what, this is a chance for me to talk about me and how cool I am. Aren't I pretty today? Don't I have a good outfit? Don't I do cool things in life? Don't I go on adventures? You know, all of these kind of things are like, how many likes can I get on this status? How many likes can I get on this photo? You know, all these kind of things. And we're able to use it as a tool to promote ourselves, even. Do you know what the Oxford Dictionary, every year, they come up with a word of the year. Do you know what the word of the year was this year? Selfie. Selfie is the word of the year according to Oxford Dictionary. What does that tell us about society? We look good. That's what it says, right? We look good, and we're going to tell the whole world that we look good because I got to post my hashtag selfie. And there's like every day of the week has something. Selfie Saturday, Selfie Sunday, you know, every day has something that you can post about yourself and share. And it's just one of those things. What can we do to be less and less of us and more of him? What can we do that we grace those who hear, right? Who are we promoting? Who are we about? And there is a path to greatness, because in each one of us, there is an innate calling that, you know, I want to be great. I want to be somebody. I want to know that I have what it takes. But like, that analogy that we're in an upside-down world, the path to greatness in this life is through humility. It's through serving. is through putting others up above ourselves and putting our Lord above everything else, right? I love Philippians 2. It's like the quintessential, you know, humility passage. And Paul just says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, you hear him saying, you know, if you have joy in the Lord, right? If you love him, if you experience his presence, complete my joy by being in the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And having this mind among you, that Jesus, who is the greatest of them all, humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. But at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, right? So he went through this path of ultimate humility and ultimate obedience and ultimate submission to the glory of God and to his greatness. It's such a beautiful path, but it's so hard for us because we're like, man, I have to give up a lot of myself if I'm going to display Christ that much more. And it is hard. But on the other side of submission is joy, because it's more of God and less of us. And we know how true that is, right? Like, man, I'm screwed up. I don't get joy from myself. I don't find self-fulfillment. I found joy when I'm in God's presence, when I'm in community, when I'm with brothers and sisters that love God. And it's not about me, and it's all about him. So how can we summarize this when we're producing onto Facebook, when we're producing onto Twitter? What can we summarize? Well, I think the key is check your heart. Think before you post. Before you post, what is this post for? Is it because I want to garner someone's attention? Is it directed at somebody? Did somebody make a statement at that party last night that I'm going to get on Facebook and hopefully they read it this morning? Or, you know, what is the attitude of our heart before we post? And I think that's probably the easiest way just to capture that idea is check your heart. Where am I at? Am I speaking kindly? Will this build up or tear down? And, you know, there's no simple formula for it. Social media is a great tool for community. It's a great tool when my friends, you know, are traveling or they're out or they're at a party and I'm not at it. I love to see it and I love to engage with them. I love to be with their lives, you know, through my Instagram feed or through my Facebook feed. But when I post, am I doing it for community and to share and to love on people and to share my life with them, or am I doing it to promote myself? Or am I promoting it, doing it to make a point? Luke 6:43 says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." What fruit? What abundance of our heart? And I think it's a cool idea to go through your Facebook feed and see, what is the abundance of my heart speaking? What is the abundance of my heart tweeting and posting and sharing and gramming? And even in day-to-day life, what do my words reflect about what's inside? So on the last point here, on the tail end of this verse, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. What deposits are we making into the good treasure of our heart that will produce good? And so that's the last point here. What are we preoccupied by, right? What treasure is in our heart? What are we depositing into our heart, right? Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." With all vigilance, keep your heart. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. And so what are we allowing to deposit into our hearts? You know, when we get on Facebook, when we get on Twitter, we get on Instagram, what is our purpose there? Is it because that, you know what, I'm dissatisfied with my life, and so I'm going to go look at other people's lives and live vicariously through them? You know, do we allow envy and jealousy to creep in? Man, you know, I wish I could be there. Why am I doing what I do? You know, why am I here? Why do they get to have all the fun? You know, what gets deposited into our hearts when we just streaming through? There's actually a condition, clinical condition for Facebook depression these days. Facebook depression is people who spend all their time on Facebook living someone else's life and never live their own. Because all they do is they see other people's posts. Man, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could do that. You know, I wish I was prettier. I wish I could dress that way. I wish whatever those wishes are. And it's like, oh, you know, that's what you're depositing. That's what you're putting into yourself. If all you think of and all you do is just scroll right through it. And what am I putting into myself? And out of that abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So what are we preoccupied by? There's something significant about what we look at, right? There's something really significant about what we set before our eyes. David was talked about that a lot in the Psalms. You know, one thing I ask, one thing I seek, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to dwell in his house forever. Just wanted to gaze. You know, I would set no shameful thing before my eyes. You know, I want, you know, whatever we set before our eyes, somehow it goes into us, right? We process it. The images come back later. You know, whatever it is, it goes in and it becomes a part of us. I find it interesting that in Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. There's a connection between a pure heart and seeing. And the unversion would say, the unpure of heart or the impure of heart will not see God, right? If we have a dirty heart or a defiled heart, we're not going to see God, right? Just taking it in the reverse. So there's something important about what we see, what we set our sights on, and when we set our sights on things that cloud our vision, then it's going to affect our heart. Matthew 6, Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you, the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And it's been said that the whole idea that the eye is the what is it? The eye is the lamp to the soul. The eye is the pathway to the soul. It's an idea drawn out of that verse that if the eye is good, if it's consuming good things, then there's light in us, right? There's light. So what are our habits? I've got to confess that I can be one of those guys that check Facebook, check Twitter, check Instagram every hour on the hour, half hour on the half hour, 15 minutes on the 15 minute. I mean, I can be one of those guys, right? Three, you know, by the end of the sermon, I've checked 3 times if we got notifications if anybody else said something new. And all y'all have been doing it too. I've been watching. So it's okay. But what are we mindlessly consuming? What are we putting in front of our eyes that we're just depositing? Little deposits over and over again. What are we depositing? I actually, I was talking with one of my close friends, and we had this conversation. He said, you know, sometimes we're just so distracted. You know, we're so distracted. We're at lunch together, and everybody's on their phones. It's like, well, can't you engage in the lunch? We're at Christmas, and all we can do is make videos of everybody unwrapping their gifts. You don't see them actually unwrapping the gifts. You see the screen. We're at concerts, you know, the works. And I found myself just, you know, whenever I was bored, if there's ever a moment right before I got to bed, right when I woke up, I'd flip over a couple pages, hit Facebook, and see what's going on, right? Just these habits. And so my friend challenged me. He said, you know what? I encourage you to delete the apps for 2 weeks and see what happens. Oh, I don't want to do that. Okay. And so I deleted the apps. And what was crazy is the first 2 days, I kept doing it. I kept swiping over, and then all right. Weird. Real life. And I had to rethink. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? Matrix. You know, I was like waking up. I was like, every time, I just flip over 2 pages, and I know it. I know where they are. Suddenly, my email got really interesting. Wow, got a new email, you know? I have nothing else to look at but my email. But it was so interesting to me, and I encourage each of you, take it to the Lord, but think about taking a time where you just take some separation from social media. Take a week, take two. And if your heart's first reaction is like, I don't need that, I'm good, then maybe there is something going on. Maybe your heart's trying to hold on to that for a second. And so I encourage you, take a couple weeks, fast from it. You know, what I did is just delete the apps, and then I would check my Facebook once a day on my laptop or something like that and be able to communicate with people and stay up to date. But just get them off your phone for a second and see what happens. It's a cool heart check. Well, as I was, you know, crawling around the internet, I found this video, and I think this video is really cool how they kind of illustrate this point of just how our society has evolved to where smartphones are so prevalent, and they're a part of everything that's going on in every situation. So Kenji's going to roll this video here for a second, and I think it makes a great point. All right, so how many of you have ever seen one of those scenes before in real life? Like, for real, like at lunch, you know, whatever. You've seen it before, right? It's like, whoa. We can be really disconnected sometimes. We can really be missing out on what's going on in life. You know, Galatians 6, it says, for God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that you also reap. For the one who sows into the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows into the Spirit will from the Spirit reap everlasting life. And that principle of sowing and reaping as a gospel principle, God is not mocked. If you sow unto the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow into the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow into, you shall reap. But this principle all of a sudden came alive for me one time when my friend was explaining it again, and he said, you know, in that principle of sowing and reaping, if you sow into the gray areas of life, you will reap gray. If you sow into complacency, you will reap apathy. If you sow into lukewarm music and lukewarm movies and lukewarm relationships, you'll reap lukewarm life. And it's not just the danger of sowing into sin, you get more sin. It's sowing into nothing and you get blah, right? It's like, oh my goodness. You know, if I took, maybe I spend 15, 20, maybe 25 minutes a day on social media, how much of the Bible could I have memorized by next year if I could do that with the Bible? Whoa, right? What am I sowing into? What am I reaping? What am I, you know, just the little things. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, that you will also reap. And so if we want to live lives of joy and full of fire and full of excitement and full of things of God and full of miracles and things and revelations of his scripture and revelations in prayer, then we have to sow into those things. It's really simple. If you want more of God, go after more of God. Discover him in community. Memorize scripture. Meditate on it. Spend time in intercession and prayer and worship, right? Get around people that lift you up. And go after God together. It's a simple, simple principle. And I'm not anti-social media by any means, obviously. I'm not an anti-socialist. Uh-oh, that didn't sound right. But I'm not anti-social media. But the point is, what are we depositing, right? What are we sowing into? Because God's not mocked. If you're sowing into idleness, you're going to reap idleness. You're going to reap laziness, right? What are we sowing into? Because God's not mocked. I love this thought. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a life. Our thoughts have consequences because our thoughts become our lives. The things that we meditate on, the things that we gaze on, that come into our hearts, that store up that treasure from which the wellspring of the mouth speaks, those thoughts become our lifetime because they become one action, become one habit, become a lifetime. So what are the thoughts? What are the things that we're meditating on? What are the things that we're sowing into? And it's no wonder that Paul said, take every thought captive to Christ. Take every thought that captive to Christ. And on the other side, I can't say this enough, is joy. Is joy. There's so much joy. So here's the conclusion. Here's the grand finale. Social media is a public platform. We're ambassadors of Christ, and we ought to think before we post it, who are the contexts? Who are the perspectives that could view this post? Could I encourage or build up with this post? Or am I simply promoting myself? Am I going to edify and give grace to those who hear? Or am I making a point and taking a jab? Right? Truth is a wonderful thing, but let's not use it as a club. That's not what it came to be. Truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Truth is a person. Truth is someone that comes alongside and speaks words of truth. And it's truth embodied that walked with us for 33 years. The truth of all scripture, every word walked with us. And I think that's how truth ought to come around people's shoulders and say, listen, God loves you so much. And he takes delight in you. Examine what you're consuming. What are the sources? What are deposits into my heart? And again, here's the deal. We live in an upside-down world, an egocentric, approval-needing, insecure, attention-getting, you know, all about me, all about number one. That's the world we live in. And if I can get more fame and more glory to my name, then I'm getting there, right? I'm moving up in the world. But the best thing about the gospel is that God says to us, I approve of you, my son and daughter. I've chosen you and I love you so much with an overwhelming, extravagant, affectionate love. You can find your ultimate satisfaction in me. I like your status 1,000 times over. I'll retweet it and I'll share it with all my friends because you're my child that I love and I care about. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. The Heavenly Father saying, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Don't worry about the distractions. Don't worry about everything else that's going on. I like you. I like your personality. I like the clothes that you wear. I like the quirks and the things about you that made you you, because I made you that way. Because of him, and we get more of him. Because of him, we can be with him. And that's the best part about the gospel, that when we take all these principles that we talked about today and we take scripture and we say, you know what? I'm going to submit my life to this. I'm going to submit my social media to this. I'm going to submit my iPhone to this. I'm going to submit to it. On the other side of submission is joy. Full joy. Full satisfaction in him. On the other side of that. All to the glory of God. Because to the chief end to man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And he is most glorified as we are most satisfied in him. Finishing up here with Titus 2, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age with iPhones and Androids. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. Oh, man. Who are zealous for good works. To be possessed by him, to be his possession. I'm yours and you are mine, right? And I think back to David. One thing I ask and one thing I seek. To dwell in the courts of the Lord and to gaze upon him forever, right? Oh. It's so good. It's so good. And it's so alive and it's so full of him. So let's pray. And Wes, you can start coming up. But. Oh, God, thank you so much that you've chosen us. God, thank you that you approve of us. Father, that you sent your son to walk among us so that we could be with you forever. God, thank you that you meet with us. And as we sow into you, more and more of you comes into our lives. God, I pray that you would help us not to be afraid of losing a bit of ourselves to gain more of you. God, I pray that our hearts cry like John would be, that I might decrease and you might increase. Be more in my life, Father. Let me be less. If I can have less of a name in this earth and you can have more of it, then my joy will be more complete. And Father, these tools that you've given us in this day and age with the dawn of Facebook and Twitter and smartphones and pockets, God, I pray that we would use them in a way that gives grace to those who hear, that builds up and edifies, that strengthens, and let the deposits into our hearts be treasure, that out of the good treasure of our heart that we would speak. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Acts Church, please visit our website, www.livingactschurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingactschurch.